This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we are 0-for-1 today in convincing our bosses to jump on the air with us.
So we've had Tim Collins with us since we got here.
True.
And if you were watching the Twitch or the YouTube, you just saw Tim Collins exiting the room. Has he ever been on our show?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's ever hopped on our show either. He says he doesn't like it.
That's sad. He hired us.
But I feel like he loves our show. He said, again, says he doesn't. I think that's just to our face. Behind our backs, I think he's really nice about us. But I've always curious why he has never joined us before. Oh, well.
That would be really neat if right now I could go, joining us now to talk about why he hasn't joined us is Tim Collins.
And he just walks right on by.
Yeah,
right.
But nope, that is not what is going to happen, unfortunately. 877-881-1053. Corey, I'm going to tell you something.
All right.
I think for a little bit, maybe we have not done the best job in the world with the shout-outs.
Okay.
So it's Friday. Shout-out Friday. Let's hear your freaking shout-outs, man, and we'll do the best we can to get them going. Does that sound like a good plan?
That sounds great, because last week we were busy, right? We were out at the card show and everybody was talking to us and we were kind of confused about things. And then Mike showed up out of nowhere after telling us he'd never talk to us again. And then he was there to say words to us and we were shocked about that. So it's been an experience.
All
but
of that.
You didn't do any shout outs during the week while I was gone, did you?
Nope, because I did not want to run afoul of you.
Right. I like it. All right.
So I stayed away from that.
Shout out to the sea mammals in San Antonio because they're there for Sean this weekend, it seems like.
Okay. That's just not what it, that's right. There is no illegitimate shout out. I just wasn't prepared for
the 214 from Jagon and Terrell. Hey, shout out to me. Landed a new job. Watching the tournament in the meantime.
Boom! With that in mind, give me cut number one because I want to talk about the NCAA tournament.
Wagner left to Flan. Back to Wagner. Back to Flan. Back to Wagner. Out along the right. Davis a three. Timeout, Kansas.
All right, so we can start with that game, or we can just overview the entire tournament. did you have Arkansas beating Kansas in the first round?
I did, Kevin. I did have Arkansas beating Kansas.
That's nice.
In the first round, and I think Arkansas will lose to St. John's.
So, okay.
But yeah, again, autofill did help on that one.
Are you guys enjoying the tournament thus far? Is your bracket doing pretty well?
Yes, my bracket's doing pretty well. I'm only 2 points behind in our CBS tour right now, or our Odyssey
bracket.
I had a hard time watching multiple games yesterday because on the way my setup is with Fubo, I don't have any TNT, TBS, True. I have none of that.
Oh.
So I have to watch all that on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And then I was like, all right, I got to get the laptop out. I do have Max.
Okay.
That's through my Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So I have it through that. And so I got to go over there. And then I was like, so bouncing around to a lot of stuff is just kind of not as easy as it was with DirecTV. DirecTV is perfect for this, man. DirecTV is perfect for today.
It really is. And I will say I was glad that I had DirecTV for this scenario. I don't know if we want to dive into it straight away or if you want to talk about some of the more specific games yesterday. I thought yesterday was kind of a run-of-the-mill March Madness day. There were some really exciting games. There were a lot of clunkers. Houston tried to top the spread for biggest win of the tournament straight away that we talked about yesterday. But I thought it was a fine day, and that's about it. But you sent me something that has really intrigued me because I disagree with that a lot.
Oh.
And it's the idea, is it Barstool Sports who threw out the idea of getting rid of
the bug?
Yeah.
The score bug that has all the scores at the top of the screen, because they say that it's 30, the game's 30 seconds behind and the bug is on time.
Okay.
So it's like, it's altering, you're seeing the score, but you're also watching the game over here and the score's changed, but the game on the other TV has not changed yet.
Okay. So a couple of questions about that. How do you watch it and stare at the bug? I feel like I can usually tune the bug out or just not pay attention.
I only look at the bug whenever I need
exactly
to check the score.
Exactly. And so I like the bug being up there because then I know when it's time to ditch out on the game I'm watching. Like,
oh, you're right.
You know, and so like if you're there and you're like, hey, I'm really locked into this game, but it's a, like, I did that yesterday.
Yep.
I did that yesterday with the Texas A&M game. I was there and focused to watch the Texas A&M game. But down the stretch, when you saw that the Arkansas game was really, really tight and it was going under 2 minutes, I was like, okay, we're looking pretty comfortable here. It's, yep. There's 8 minutes to go. It's about a 10-point game, so it's not over by any means. But I can afford to change it over. And so then I watched the rest of Arkansas-Kansas before I bounced back over to Texas A&M and Yale. So I actually think the score bug is super duper helpful.
I think it's always been helpful with the bracket. Now, obviously, are you a print bracket guy or do you
keep
track of your analog about a lot of stuff?
Well, and that's the thing. It's helpful because we have like our family bracket, you know, that's where I put in my real bracket as opposed to the
Own the family.
Yeah, I do. But that's where we have our real bracket.
How's Noah doing on his bracket right now?
Yeah, we had to give him some help right now because right now, like a lot of kids his age, he's obsessed with dinosaurs. And so when Texas A&M beat Yale, we were trying to get him to say Gig'em. And he goes, no, it's Giganotosaurus. And we're like, no, we're not talking about dinosaurs. Also, it's Giganotosaurus. I thought for the longest time it was the Gigantosaurus.
Dohecadedron.
And so, yeah, he knows a lot about dinosaurs, but we couldn't get him invested in college basketball.
It's all right. That one day, man, one day.
There you go. From the 817, shout out to the Aggies for beating Yale. Whoop. From the another 817, shout out to Jim. He's a cool dude. He is a cool dude. He's sending us food today because I think he misses us.
Dude, I miss Jim already from the show.
Do you think he's sending food up via himself?
And
then
like
he's going to be like, guys, I'm here.
That would be amazing.
That would be like, kind of cool. And
you know what? I'd tell him to pop that microphone on.
For sure.
From the 254, Tim Collins here. Playing talkie talk on radio is beneath my pay grade. I'm going to go to my office and listen to Foreign.
Oh, man. Okay. First of all, that does kind of sound.
That person knows Tim Collins.
Like Tim. Also, I don't know if he loves foreigner, totally, though. But from the 214, Tim Collins here, I'll never hop on your show. Shout that out. Man, that felt more aggressive than Tim usually is. I will say this from the 817. If this is what you're doing today, you're fine. Shout out to me for McNeese being my only loss. If you went 15-1 yesterday, you're cruising, man.
Yeah, I got a Tolo that tweeted, I think it was me and Sean this morning. And, yeah, me, Sean, Choppy, you, and the G-Bag Nation, Bobby. He is perfect right now. All of his risky upset picks landed yesterday. So I'm very interested to continue following this dude.
And that's one of the things about yesterday that I think kind of made it a run-of-the-mill NCAA tournament day. There wasn't any game yesterday that you're like, how the hell did that happen? Like, I know there were upsets, but like, you heard plenty of people who were like, I think Drake can do it. You heard plenty of people who were like, I think McNeese State can do it. Or maybe somebody continually told you how much the ACC sucks and that helped make your decision for you. But there weren't any games that you're like, nobody picked that, right?
Yeah.
Like if Florida or Duke lost today and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And so I could see how you'd be perfect. That is impressive, though.
I think the one thing that has stood out the most is the question you've been asking all along. And that was, we're going to find out if Duke is really good,
yeah,
or if the ACC really stinks.
I'm not going to lie. Yesterday's games did not instill a lot of faith in the SEC. So Louisville lost. And Clemson, don't be fooled by the final score, where it was like a two-point game. Clemson was getting their ass handed to them for most of that game. They scored 13 points at halftime, I believe, and they were getting crushed for most of that game. So you have four ACC teams that made it. I know North Carolina smoked their opponent. I wanted to say San Diego State. That might not be right. In the first four game. And so obviously they're in the actual tournament, but we'll see how they do against Ole Miss. Louisville lost, Clemson lost. I'm not concerned for Duke as much today, though we'll see. But man, you can find out really quick that like they beat the crap out of people in the ACC, and the ACC was garbage all along, and that's why it was less impressive.
From the 940, shout out to the veterans. I've got Iowa and Duke in the finals with Duke winning 11-5 right now. So.
I would love that. And by the way, for the Tola who went 16-0, I have never, ever gone 16-0 on any day of the tournament in the history. I think the best I've done is 14-2, and I felt really stoked about that. Maybe, I don't know if I've ever even gotten to 15, but I've never had a perfect 16-0 day in the tournament.
I have gone 16-0 twice.
That's
one
amazing.
Time for real. The other time was last year
Okay. When
I had the perfect bracket.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
Gotcha. So one time for real.
Gotcha. From the 682, if anyone is kind of in...
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this state of their life. Shout out to my wife, Catherine, who delivered 12 viable eggs this week in our IVF retrieval. Stoked with that number. That is a really high number. We went through IVF twice It's a hard procedure, and congratulations to you guys. That's a big first step, a huge first step.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. Kevin, there was a lot of fun yesterday, but yesterday was an action-packed sports day.
True.
And that's why it was kind of like, which one do I want to like focus all my attention on? That is the kind of day where when I was growing up and dad was like, bring all the TVs to the living room, please.
Yeah.
You go get your TV. I'm going to go get mine out of the bedroom. Your sister, that little one we have in the kitchen, like all the TVs needed to be in the living room for yesterday.
And I don't know what year this happened. I really don't remember where they were like, hey, showing one game is stupid. Let's show all of them. Because I used to get so mad at CBS for being the arbiter of the game needing to change. And I'm like, come on.
Yes, I
hate it.
There's
6 minutes left. It's a 14-point game. That other game has 2 minutes left and it's tied. What are we even doing?
Yeah, whoever the director was stunk at what he was doing.
I totally agree with you. So I'm glad that we have all the options. Then the other thing, and Alec, it happened last night. I don't know if you ever felt this way. When I was a kid, and I know you're less removed from that than I am, I thought it was so cool because, like, the Texas Tech game started at, I think, like 9:30, something like that. So you know that game's going late. You might even get it to midnight. And so when I was a kid, not to sound too old, you didn't always have the West Coast feed of everything. Now I know it's not unusual to see a West Coast game go until 11:30, midnight, or whatever, but it used to be like, oh my God, these 2 days, I know I'm going to get basketball until 11:30 at night, and it's going to be glorious. And last night, we even went past 11:30, and I always thought that was a really cool part of the tournament because on Thursday, it was a school night. It's crazy. And Friday, before I had a car, I'm staying up watching basketball. It was so much fun.
From the 903, shout out to me for getting my anxiety mostly under control. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Absolutely.
Just keep it mostly under control. You can feel pretty good about your day.
From the 469, shout out to my girlfriend for killing it today in her interviews. Hashtag sugar mama. That's the dream for a lot of people.
Listen.
You're married.
If I could find a sugar mama for Alec.
Oh, yeah.
That would be my dream. Is for him to have a sugar mama.
True.
Never have to worry about anything and continue pursuing his career the way he wants.
She wouldn't ask about buying those tickets to WrestleMania. She'd just do it and tell Alec they were going.
She would just be like, hey, actually, she wouldn't even tell him until the night of. She'd be like, oh, yeah, you're not watching it with your friends at their house tonight. We're going to the thing. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're taking a helicopter. It's Jerry's helicopter.
What? That feels like a long helicopter trip. Yeah, but we need to understand your point nonetheless. From the 817, Corey, tell them what they're in store for. Shout out to me. I'm watching the season one finale of Severance tonight. So pumped. Now, I'm going to take them at their word and assume they mean one and not two. I've not seen the last two episodes of season two, but the last episode of season one, I think, is the best episode that show has done.
And I think there might be another one that's like lines up in season two with it. I've enjoyed season two so far. There was a clunker.
My wife has not.
There was a real clunker.
The third to last episode, which is where we stopped, it was not good.
My new friend, Sean McFarlane, who works for the morning news covering the Rangers, he tweeted out last night, I just finished watching the hit TV show Severance. And then he tweeted, there were a bunch of pictures of people just like staring going like, they were stressed. And what just happened?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, if you are watching Severance, it is action packed. This episode is action, one hit after another of tension. And they piled a lot into the season finale. So this was a good one. And I'm going to leave it at that because I told Kevin something else and I don't know if I want to spoil that.
He told me
that
I have until Monday to watch the show. I would hope not. It just came out last night and we were watching basketball. And plus, my wife needed to take a little bit of a severance break because that episode featuring Patricia Arquette was so terrible.
It was terrible.
And we were like, what are we even doing?
How do people have so much time to watch TV? Good question.
That is a fair question. For me, I have trouble sleeping a lot. That helps me out for sure. And then yesterday it was easy because I'm like, it's for work. I need to watch basketball nonstop for work.
And for me, I just ignore my kids.
Oh, no.
During TV time, which is about an hour a night. All right. And once they go to bed, I get another hour to myself. But at about an hour a night, I tell them it's not time to talk to dad, guys, or mom. Right now, if you need to talk to somebody, call grandma. You know, call Peepaw up. That's a good thing. I'm trying to tell them to be part of the family. Really include family in there. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time with those kids, dude. Don't act like that.
And shout out to everybody today I hope you have a better day than the Clemson Tigers mascot. I'm not going to lie.
That's the best.
I laughed and rewound it and watched multiple times because whoever's in that suit, they're doing a great job because it's just, it's the big fur head with the dead eyes and stuff. But you could feel the emotion just by the head tilts. It's like old school Kane. If you're watching wrestling, you're like, I could feel what he meant in that head tilt. And so when the Clemson mascot just put his head down, you're like, I get it, buddy. I'm sorry for you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you guys want to puck around and find out? Let's talk about the Stars. And what's this team's ceiling without Miro? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
It's the rookie, Gage Gonsalves. He can now win it for Tampa Bay. Wide right, curls back in, scores! And the Lightning, in the fourth round of a shootout, outlast the Stars and win it.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Stars drop, I want to say a tough one, but it really wasn't that tough. I thought for most of the night, they probably deserved to lose. Somebody said earlier in the first segment, shout out to Casey DeSmith for helping us get a point.
Yeah, for real.
But this team has not played well as of late. And I'm going to go to Pete DeBoer, who I'm going to let you tell me if you think he feels good about the way the team's playing. Quote, there are no bad points, but I'm just really disappointed with our effort. So I don't have much more to say other than that. Other than Casey DeSmith, I thought they were harder, hungrier, heavier than us, which is inexcusable at this time of year. We've been leaking a little bit over the last couple weeks, and tonight was probably as bad as it's been.
Sounds like he wants to trade Wyatt and Robertson. And
well, trade deadline's over,
Branson,
buddy.
During the offseason. Miro might be out round one is what DeBoer said.
Yes.
And so when it comes to him missing, they've been leaky this entire time.
Agreed.
Defensively. Every once in a while they have a good night where you're like, okay, that was quality defense. But that shows you just how much he is missed in this. I did love the Bishop was trying to get people riled up last night. He was being physical. He was punching. He was getting after it last night. And I really appreciated that because he's a big physical dude.
And you kind of need it, right?
You definitely need that.
This team does not have a lot of physicalness to it, but Liam Bischel is the type of player that you'd be like, on a real physical team, you'd be like, oh yeah, he's one of our most physical players. On the Stars, you're like, oh yeah, he's by far the most physical player that we have.
I will say, after the second goal by Tampa last night, because Tampa did look, it was chippy. They looked like they really wanted a win.
And like they were the better team,
right? They definitely were last night. The Stars didn't have the energy that you needed from the get. And you could hear that Brian Ray, you could even hear in the intermissions, they were discussing that. But it was after the second goal and I was like, man, this might be time to be done with this game tonight. And then bam, they scored. And I was like, oh, here we go. And they were right back in that thing. And that's the thing about this team is they're not a team I can just ever say they're really counted out. I know that 5-4 game in Rantanen's was that really prevent defense more than it was anything else. But they're the kind of team that no matter what, you can't count them out. I hope Haskinen's not out for round one because this team needs his defense so bad.
All right. So
he's a calming presence, dude.
Let's talk about that. And honestly, I can't say enough about Casey DeSmith.
What a great addition to what they're doing.
He got you the point
yesterday.
Like, with all due respect to everybody else out there, I think he got you the point. Somebody is very adamant. Hey, got to mention that kick save. Absolutely.
Yes.
I thought he did a really good job. The key right now is, you're still going to find yourself in a position where, look, I'll say this again. It's not impossible, but it feels highly unlikely that you would catch Winnipeg. And so maybe Minnesota moves up into the group and overtakes Colorado. But the key is, at least to me, given how well the Stars had been playing at home, that you need to stay ahead of Colorado for that C2, C3 matchup.
Yes. That was kind of what I was looking at this morning. And I was like, all right, so where it looks like it's just out of reach for that. But staying ahead of Colorado so that you have your best. Are they really going to consider readjusting that at some point? Is that a different time?
Oh, we'll talk about it right now. Do you want to know what he said?
Before we do. Okay. Before we do. I was just looking at shots against last night, shots on goal.
We got worked.
38 is what Casey DeSmith have. 24.
DeSmith, man, if you get outshot by 14 and make it to overtime, good for your keeper.
It did feel like at times Tampa Bay was just running at the net, just free. And then you were like, why do they feel so confident about what they're doing? They just looked so confident, like, we don't even care. We're going right at it. And that was the moment last night where I was like, this might not be the one. But who is are we changing up the playoff? Is that the plan?
I'm going to just get right to the point from Gary Bettman. He said that's a big fat N-O. More specifically, he went on. He didn't just leave it at that. That feels like that would be kind of a jerk move. He said, I'm pretty dug in on this. I like exactly what we have. And if you look at the races that we're having for the regular season, playoffs have started already. We're in our play-in tournament.
That's interesting. Before you go any further there, because DeBoer said something along those lines last night with his quote, right? When he was like, at this point in the season, we need to have all these, you need to be in that mindset of, and when I was listening to that and reading it this morning, Kevin, I was like, isn't it still like, can't you just wait until playoffs to really ramp that up? And I guess not. I guess like this is that time. I thought this is the time of season where if you're in a pretty decent position, you can kind of coast, but he doesn't want this team to coast. He doesn't want them to have that kind of mentality at all.
Because, and then if you were the Stars, then you would switch focus to not only Colorado, but Vegas as well. Yeah. And you'd be like, hey, we want to hold on to, like, if you didn't give an automatic seed for the division winners, then you're like, hey, maybe we could get the number two seed. Maybe you would get like St. Louis in the opening round of the playoffs, but that's not going to happen. And right now you can look at it and it's not almost 100%. It's a very, very, very high probability that you will play Colorado or Minnesota in the opening round of the playoffs as C2. I think the thing that people dislike more than anything is the way it's structured.
Yes.
And it's so
confusing.
You went from 1 to 8, which you've seen it in all playoff sports, that kind of like 1 through whatever. Now here it's like, well, Winnipeg has got the advantage to be C1 and Las Vegas, they've got the inside track to take P1. Both of them will play one of the wild card teams. Oh, which one? Well, whichever one, blah, blah. And we go into that. C2 is going to play C3 because they're in the Central Division. Same thing with P2, blah, blah, blah. So I think I think the numerical breakdown of it is what kind of throws some people off. But, Gary Bettman doubled down and said, having great matchups in the first round, that's not a problem. That's a great thing. So if you're hoping that they change it, not going to happen anytime soon.
It is kind of, don't you feel like you would be bullish too if you just threw this Four Nations thing out there and it was so wildly successful? You're like, hey, any decisions we make right now, we're awesome. Hockey actually is like really gaining traction, I think, at the moment, especially around here because of what's going on with the Mavs. But because of what they did with that Four Nations thing, people are far more interested right now.
See, but there, Corey, lies the challenge of changing the playoffs. Because, you know, like, hey, I need you to do all these things. And you're like, what if I do some of these things? So that's what Gary Bettman has agreed. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to reevaluate what we're doing for the next All-Star game. All right, so I don't know exactly what they look like, but he talked about how high Four Nations raised the bar. And so he was like, look, so we need to change up what we're doing for the All-Star game and kind of reevaluate some different stuff. All right, so that's a change.
Okay.
So then he can kind of lean back on, but playoffs, I'm good, man.
I'm leaving it the way that it is. From the 903, this may sound ludicrous, but it feels like DeSmith is playing better than Ottinger of late.
Now, man, I'll tell you this, 903, that is not where I wanted to go, but you're right.
And that being said, I don't imagine there's any drastic change happening there, but the goal of this season was to have a backup that could play to spell Ottinger.
Thumbs up.
And that could give you wins instead of, well, this is a chalked up lose tonight.
For sure.
So that was like the whole goal there, and you're getting that out of him. Now, that it's all on DeBoer and that decision of, you know, what is he seeing on all the fronts of what both of these netminders are going through.
So let's take a look. All right. This month, Ottinger's played 6 games. DeSmith has only played 3. DeSmith's save percentage, 933.
It's pretty damn good.
It is pretty damn good. Ottinger's save percentage, 883. First of all,
still,
if you're
right.
No, it's not.
It's
if your save percentage starts with an 8, you're doing poorly. His last
should start with a
4
one.
Games. You know what?
100%.
Actually, I know you're kind of joking, but Ottinger has 1 shutout this year and DeSmith has 2. Even though Ottinger has played more games. But I want to take you to a couple of different things. Goals against average, 3.45 for Ottinger this month as opposed to 1.95 for DeSmith. Just think about that. Think about a hockey game in which you could magically take away 1.5 goals. That is going to make a difference almost every single time. Now, if you want to just take one more step back to the month before that, it's tough because obviously DeSmith will play fewer games. So he's played 3 this month, Ottinger 6. He played 3 last month, Ottinger 6, because obviously they had the 4 nations in the middle of it, everything like that. DeSmith, save percentage, 911. Ottinger, 901. Goals against, 2.68 for DeSmith. Ottinger, 3.21. That's a half a goal higher. All right, and it's a goal and a half higher this month. I like Ottinger a lot, but I know he has critics when it comes to the playoffs. And this down the stretch, where you could make an argument DeSmith was better last month, but you can make a very fact-filled case that DeSmith has been better than Ottinger this month, that's not what you want.
Yeah, my biggest, I think the last couple of years now, my biggest comment about Ottinger's playoff run is I haven't seen that exceptional stand on your head through the entire thing.
For sure.
Where you're just like, there was nobody like him. You know, like, and
yeah.
And I don't know if he's got that in him. I really don't. But you don't know it until you possibly see it happen. But it does definitely take a little bit of a better defense in front of you to ensure that you're going to get that.
And that's kind of where it comes down, right? Because, you know, like if your running game is struggling, it's not necessarily only your running game.
Yeah, if you don't have the same guard in front of you doing that, then your comfort level on making a certain cut isn't going to be the same.
And so I think you could make a really strong argument that one of the issues for the Stars, it's not just Ottinger, though at times there's been a couple of, we used the phrase the other day, leaky goals. So you're like, come on, man, you got to stop that. But there have been other times, and last night was a great example, where your defense puts you in a continually terrible position throughout the entire game. And so that's one of my concerns, is that the Stars defense is not up to par and they don't have the goalie that's going to bail them out for that. And that's why I wanted to ask, like, how far does the Stars team go without Miro? Because there's a really good shot, whether it's Colorado, whether it's Minnesota, that you go into that first series without Miro.
Yeah. And the other significant thing about Miro is the amount of minutes that he plays. Like the amount of time that he's on the ice and your calming presence is there to do what he's supposed to do. And that can allow other players, other guys, to get out there and be more physical if they can or need to be or want to be. That's because of what he does to secure the puck and make you feel good in those corners and get the puck up the ice well.
I feel like you need some positive news.
Hey, I feel like we're on our way to positivity.
Tyler Seguin skated with the team yesterday morning. It is the first time he's skated with the team since he's been out. He's been skating on his own for a few weeks, but participating in a team skate was another step towards being back, perhaps at the end of the regular season, hopefully definitely for the playoffs. And so while you wait to see what's going to happen with Miro, at least you can say it's looking like a better trajectory for Tyler Seguin to be there at the very end of the regular season or be at least there for the beginning of the playoffs since he's been out and had surgery on December 5th. So
that screws up our Matt Stone or our Stone thing there, Kevin.
It does not.
All right.
Because you already waited. You already went past the time frame where you would acquire those people. And that's, see, that's what was so agitating about the way the Golden Knights did it, is you put him on long-term injured reserve, and then magically he was better. For the Stars, they put both of those players on long-term injured reserve with the idea that maybe they would be there for the playoffs. So I hated it when Vegas did it. Classic sports fan hypocrite. I'm going to love it if the Stars can get it done and both Sagan and Miro are back for the start of the playoffs.
I guess, and I know we got to go, but my big question and concern is when Miro gets back, will he be back or will he be pushing himself to be back? Because it's that time, and he's not quite the same guy, and he's not quite the same thing.
I'm going to lean to that one.
Crap. But it's all right, man. We're going to win the cup. We're going to go win the damn cup, Kevin.
There you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Can Paul Skeens be even better in his sophomore season? Next on The Fan.
There's strike three, and that's seven in a row, and there's a fastball. That was the first fastball he threw in that at-bat to Madrigal. Seven up, seven down, all via the strikeout for Skeens.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, I feel like we need to start. I do want to have some discussions about Paul Skeens in here, but want to give you Kamar Rocker update. Yesterday, he did have a pair of walks, and he gave up a two-run home run. Those are the bad parts. Good part. Rocker threw 4 2/3, struck out 8. 76 pitches, 47 for strikes, 29 for balls, as he continues to refine his mechanics. It felt like a good step forward. I know we talked about with the addition earlier in the week. Now it kind of feels like there's only room right now for Rocker or Leiter in the starting rotation as opposed to both of them, which is what it felt like it was going to be.
Yeah, and across the league, Kevin, MLB.com has a list up of players, prospects that might get their shot because of injuries. And that's where Rocker and Leiter are. Because of injuries, they might get that opportunity to go do that. What I'm interested in on Rocker, you said two home runs?
Yeah, one home run for two runs.
One home run for two runs. I would love to know if that was a miss or a challenge pitch. And
that's a good question.
These are things that Mike Maddox and Bochy know. That's about it.
Right.
And the catcher. Whoever the catcher was it Jonah Heim or whatever? Like, these are the things that those three people know and the pitcher. And if it was a challenge pitch, Derek would always tell me that he would get in trouble because he would try to challenge too much. He would always be like, you know what? I'll show you. I'm going to blast 97 past you. And so I'm always kind of curious which one it was, because if it was a miss, he can work on that just a little bit. He's not missing much. And that's something that I've been really happy with so far.
Now, for Paul Skeens, did you see the final auction price for his rookie debut 1/1 patch card?
Last I heard, I believe it was $900,000. Yes. So no, I have not seen anything since.
And we said, safe to assume, it will close above $1 million, close that $1.11 million. This is another thing, Alec. I know we've talked about this before. That's crazy to me. If you say, oh yeah, it was $1.10 million or $1.11 million, you're like, who cares? That's $10,000. Like, that, it's just, I don't want that to get lost, that like, that extra one right there, that's $10,000.
It's ridiculous. So like, and I'm not saying in a bad way, just to see any rookie card go for that much only 1 year into his career, but two, something that I love is Fanatics obviously put on the auction. They do a lot of the card work now in the card game. They've been putting out like targeted ads on social media, like Fanatics Collect, download the app, start auctioning. And I love that up until yesterday, the picture on those targeted ads, it would say, start your collection today. And it's the Skeens 1/1 patch. And it's like, you really think I'm going to start my collection by dropping $1 million?
$1 million. And that would still have you $110,000 short. Now, what's astonishing about this is the previous record for the most expensive Paul Skeens card, $123,000. So we beat that by a good, good amount. Now, here's the craziest part.
Go ahead. I think this is a good question.
I don't think your brain is ready to comprehend this. Because when I read it, my brain was not either.
Why are sports cards worth more than things like jerseys and bats at times?
Okay. That
is that a completely different conversation?
No, I mean, it probably is. That is a really good question. Because, like, wouldn't you think the Paul Skeens, like, let's just say we auctioned off his entire jersey and his pants and stuff right now. I feel like that's going for less than the card.
Yeah.
I think it's just because there's such a bigger continuous market for the cards. And what I mean by that is, like, there are plenty of people who collect the pants and the jersey and everything like that. But like we talked about the Dallas Card Show, you saw it. There was like 10,000 people there who are like, let's buy, let's sell it. Cards have become like the stock market where you're just like, hey, that's the currency in which we trade. Here's the thing that blows my mind, though. Paul Skeens, the card went for $1.11 million. Do you know how much money Paul Skeens is going to make pitching this year?
$500,000.
$875,000. So they just sold the card of Paul Skeens for more than Paul Skeens will make pitching this year when he might win the Cy Young.
Which is why he wanted that card so damn bad.
Hell yeah.
He was like, Livy, tell them that they can hang out in your suite with you.
Yes.
I mean, I need some money. I'm only making $875,000. How am I supposed to live off that in this day and age?
I mean, Livy's like, don't worry about it. I got way more money than like, that.
My TikTok makes that.
Don't
in 2 days.
Even worry about it. From the 940, and I disagree with this. We talked about it yesterday. Getting under $900,000 after auctions fees, Pirates' offer would have worked out better. I don't think so, just because how much work is all of that going to take if you want to sell all that? Like, if you were from Pittsburgh, I get it. Like, how awesome would it be, Corey, if all of a sudden, I mean, and I know you're in media, so it's a little different, but if you weren't in media and you got something where you're like 30 years of Rangers season tickets.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
But if you got Mets season tickets, you'd be like, oh, that's nice.
I would probably move to Arlington if I had 30 years.
That's probably a good idea.
I mean, Plano's still too far at that point.
For sure. And so maybe they could have sold all of those. Maybe they could have sold all of those season tickets and that would have been fine, but that would have taken a really long time. And just to have one auction, that is a lot nicer.
Somebody did mention, I just wanted to put this out there. They mentioned that Rocker's pitch that was hit for a home run was right down the pipe low and he was behind in the count and it was a fastball. That all makes sense. He needed a strike. A lot of times they're like, just get your strike. The batter was hunting fastball.
Sure.
He knew he needed a strike and he was like, I'm taking this one yard, kid.
Which, you know,
I'm all right with that.
That's not the end of the world.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Paul Skeens came in number 3 in top 10 predicted best starting pitchers this season for Major League Baseball per CBS. Tarek Skubal, Zach Wheeler were the only two ahead of him. And then it goes Skeens, Burns, Crochet, Sale is at 6. Logan Webb, Blake Snell, there we go. Logan Gilbert, and then number 10 they put on the list, Jacob DeGrom. So we've obviously talked quite a bit about Jacob DeGrom, so I just wanted to throw out there that they are like, hey, he could be 10.
An 8-win Cy Young season for him is on the way.
If Jacob DeGrom is the 10th best pitcher in Major League Baseball this year,
then Evaldi better be 11.
Thumbs up.
Oh, for him?
For us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for him, too.
Yeah. Mostly, no, you're feeling really good.
Mostly for us, right?
Because for him, and for if that's the case, he's 10th. It's because the Rangers have shortened however many innings he's pitching per game. And maybe they even were able to skip a couple games here and there for him because of the way the schedule lines up. And so he's not dominating and pitching every, 30 games, but he's dominating in the time that he's doing it, and that's where 10 would be for him. I like it.
From the 817, 6 days till opening day, baby. Woo!
We'll be there. We'll be there.
We will be there doing the show live from Globe Life Field.
Right around the corner from Hurtado and Whataburger in that stadium.
You think we could, I know Brandon's going to be really busy that day. Do you think we could convince him to?
I think we got some friends we can call and reach out to.
Also, what we've learned is on that show on Thursday, sitting down with us will be MJF, the wrestler for All Elite Wrestling, who's apparently going to throw out one of the first pitches or the first pitch.
Oh, are they going to have multiple people
up
there?
Yeah, you know how sometimes they do that.
And him and Megan Fox?
That, maybe. That is going to be really fun, even though I heard he's really mean in interviews. So I'm a little bit concerned about that.
Alec, is that true?
Yeah, I the first thing I did was I texted Ruben and I texted KG. I was like, over under how many times we're going to hit the dump button.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
All
he's,
right.
He's not the nicest.
If he does it too many times, do I get to suplex him or something, put him in a Willie Nelson?
Okay, that's a full Nelson, you jerk. Right. Or a half Nelson. I would love nothing more than to watch you try to suplex MJF.
It's going
to
go like that time Bader almost broke his wrist again.
Mm-hmm. And then our table's going to end up getting destroyed when MJF suplexes you. I'll tell you this. It'll make for some great radio and video.
Yeah, it will.
It'll be bad for you after the fact.
Oh, no.
And then, by the way, viewership for the opening day game we talked about with the Dodgers and the Cubs. It was approximately 838,000 in the United States, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but remember, Central Time, the game started at 5 in the morning, and on the West Coast, it started at 3 in the morning.
Mm.
So they were really happy with the viewership they got, up 59% over last year's average for the Korea series, so obviously Shohei still bringing them in. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, college football identity thieves, Georgia football again, and Ron Washington. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you?
Mm.
Do it next right here on The Fan.